You know, I'm not prophetic, but I would like to say that as I sat in the service this morning, I also felt in my spirit something very strong. I felt very sure, and I couldn't put words to it, and Pastor put the words to it for me. And when I walked out to go to my table, I felt that new in my spirit, and I just felt that I felt like you were on the verge of something happening here at Central Assembly. I mean, I felt like I could just reach out and grab it and pull it in. I think you folks are in for some exciting days at Central Assembly, and it's exciting. And I have to tell you, I'm sure other missionaries have said this, what an honor it is to be here with you, to stand here in front of you in this church with such a history of exceptional leadership and faithful and exceptional membership in the past and today, and to see your crying out to God, your hunger for God now, I think the future, you ain't, I'm from Brooklyn, okay? You ain't seen nothing yet. That's how we would say it in Brooklyn. So I just encourage you, continue, stay open. Just you wait on the Lord and worship the Lord. I'm excited. I really am. I was touched in my spirit today to be able to worship with you. And, you know, I'm in an awful lot of churches, and it was, I got to tell you, a blessing for me. It was like fresh air, the worship that we had today. And to hear that word from the Lord come forth, whoo, you know, I'm still Pentecostal, hallelujah. And the Assemblies of God is still Pentecostal, hallelujah. You better believe it. And I can't tell you how many churches I go to, and I run out front to check the sign. Did I come? Am I in the right church here today? I didn't say that. But let me just greet you. I gave you a little Hebrew lesson this morning, but let me greet you with a shalom mishpocha. Now, shalom, of course, we know means hello, it means goodbye, it means peace, but really, it means so much more than that. When I say shalom to you, I am literally praying for the blessings of heaven, for health, for strength, emotional, physical, financial. I'm praying the blessings of heaven when I say shalom to you. This is a beautiful word that encompasses all of the blessings that God has for us. And I pray shalom upon you, my brothers and sisters. And I say mishpocha, which means family. And we are indeed family. And I think someone alluded to it, my brother, in your prayer, that we are family. We are one in Messiah. That he has taken that wall of separation away. And now Jew and Gentile are together in the Messiah. And, you know, since I've said something so nice about your church, now I can make you angry, right? Yeah. I've earned the right. Well, you know, people say to me all the time, this isn't my message, but this is just talking. People say to me all the time, Jeff, it's so wonderful that you converted. And I say, wait a minute. And then I go to Ephesians chapter 2, one in Messiah. Therefore, remember that formerly you, who are Gentiles, nothing wrong with being Gentiles. We need you guys. I mean, God made you that way. It's a good thing. Where would we be if we were all Jews? Oh, yeah, I wouldn't even want to think about it. Remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth, called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men, remember that at that time you were separate from Messiah, excluded from citizenship in Israel, foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope. And without God. But now in Messiah Yeshua, you have to forgive me, I'm messianic. This is just the way I talk, okay? Now in Messiah Yeshua, you once were far away, have been brought near through the blood of Messiah. Consequently, verse 19 goes on to say, you are no longer foreigners. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? You are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Messiah Yeshua himself as the chief cornerstone. Hallelujah. Folks, I ain't the one who converted. You were. Amen. Welcome to the family. Now, it's not a family everybody really wants to be a part of, but I have to tell you, it's the family that God's got going on. And it's a good family made up of believing Gentiles and believing Jewish people, now together, one new man in Messiah, that we might worship him together as brothers and sisters with nothing coming between us. Hallelujah. So again, I welcome you, my brothers and sisters, my mishpocha, welcome to the family. Hallelujah. So I want to take you. I told you this morning I want you to bring your passports. Did you bring your passports? No? Well, I'm going to get the TSA guy out here pretty soon, so no, I won't do that. I want to take you on a little trip around some of the countries that Jacob's Hope ministers in. We have been blessed to minister in about 10 different countries now, and our goal is to minister in any country where there are Jewish people who need help, any way that we could bring that help, including humanitarian, food, clothing, medical care, job training, any way that we can improve the life of Jewish people in a community that then opens the door for us to share the good news, the hope of Jacob, Yeshua the Messiah. Now, I have people ask me all the time, well, Jeff, why on earth do you have to bring Jewish people food and clothing and all these things? I mean, after all, we all know all Jewish people are rich. Pastor, what happened to me? That's what I want to know. Maybe I was adopted. I don't know. So let me take you to a few of the places where my people live and your people. And we'll see what it's like for them. Let's get on an airplane and go to Russia or to Ukraine or to Belarus or any of the countries of the former Soviet Union which we have worked in or are working in now. And maybe it's a November day. And if you've ever been in Ukraine or Russia in November, you know it gets pretty cold. There have been nights when I have slept with literally every piece of clothing in my suitcase and I was still shivering. Yes, they usually don't turn the heat on probably till December because, well, you just can't afford to turn the heat on. And let's go to an old Soviet-era apartment building, okay? Maybe covered in graffiti, maybe there's trash around, the inside smells very badly, there's crime, there's drugs, like our inner city, only in many cases even worse. And there's, of course, there's an elevator, but it hasn't worked since Stalin. Well, maybe it never worked at all, but there's an elevator. And let's walk up maybe four, maybe five flights of stairs, knock on the door of an apartment. Maybe an 80 or a 90-year-old man or woman will come to the door and let us in, and maybe that apartment will be freezing cold, it'll be dirty because they're just too old to take care of it, and maybe there's mold growing on the wall, yeah. And we'll go in and we'll bring them a bag of food, not much, maybe the staples that could last them for a month or so, and we'll sit down with them and we'll listen to them, and many of them still, yeah, with the tattoos on their arms. And they'll tell the stories of the fear that they've lived with all their lives and the suffering from the days of the Holocaust and the concentration camps. And even today, brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something. Anti-Semitism and persecution against Jewish people is common. In just about every country where these folks live, I want to tell you, I could show you the pictures of the little girl, 13 years old, out on for a day with her class, and their entire class was set upon in Ukraine, and she was beaten almost to death. Common. Let's go to France. You know the most dangerous place to be Jewish in the world today is France? The incidents of anti-Semitic attacks, the vandalism that's taking place all over the world. And we'll listen as this elderly man or woman pours out their fears and shares about how they live constantly afraid that they're going to be harmed. And then we'll give them a Bible. And then we'll tell them that God has not forgotten them. And that the Christians in America have not forgotten them. And then we'll share the good news, Jacob's hope, Yeshua, the Messiah of Israel. And we'll watch as that fear and that anger and even unforgiveness just lifts from their hearts. It's replaced by the love of God. Yeah, it's something to see. And all over the former Soviet Union, Chris and one of our other missionaries, Jeff Kuss, and they travel through these areas and they minister to these Jewish people, sharing, giving them food, preaching, teaching. And wherever they go, Jewish people are opening their hearts to Jesus as their Messiah. Let's get on an airplane, and I want to take you over to Turkey for just a minute because This is, folks, you know, sometimes you do historic things and you don't even realize how historic it was. Chris made contact with a small group of Jewish believers. Ancestors had been converted forcibly to Islam. They rediscovered their Jewishness, and then they found the Messiah of Israel. You want to talk about identity crisis? And now they're saying to us, help us. Help us start a congregation. Give us what we need. Help us to do this so that we could reach those other Jewish people in Istanbul, Turkey, a country that is 99% Islamic and is not exactly the safest place for Jewish people. And let's get on an airplane now and fly over to Ethiopia. I tell you what, my heart is in Ethiopia. I'll never forget the first time I went there and I saw these Jewish people certified kosher by Israel. Jewish. And you wouldn't be able to tell the difference between one Ethiopian and another. And I saw my people, starving to death with nothing to eat. I mean nothing. Oftentimes just digging into the side of a hill so they could get out of the rain. Or moving into a construction pipe on the street because they had no place to live. And they would put a piece of cloth at this end and a piece of cloth at this end. And that's their home. Despised. By their non-Jewish, by their, Christian and Muslim neighbors. You know, I thought I heard everything, but I was told by these folks, I hope I'm not offending you. I'll get there if I haven't. I thought I had heard everything about Jewish people, but I was told that in Ethiopia, the Christian people say that at night, the Jewish people turn into hyenas. I'd never heard that one before. And I came home from that trip, I told my wife, I said, honey, they say that the Jewish people turn into hyenas. And she said, now I understand it. She said, I thought it was the coyotes. Now I know it was you. And how we brought a medical team to that country and saw 2,400 of these precious Ethiopian Jewish people had never seen a doctor, never seen a dentist. Well, the whole country of Ethiopia, 80 million people, there are like less than 100 dentists. And to see the joy on their faces. You want to get a tooth pulled and have fun doing it? They loved it because the pain that they'd been living with for who knows how long was now going to be gone. And more than 220 of those precious Ethiopian Jews gave their hearts to Jesus. And you know, I want you to know something. We are focused, but we are not exclusive. Anyone who comes to us for help, we're going to help them. I don't care if they're Hindus. I don't care if they're Buddhists. I don't care if they're Muslims. If they come, if God brings them to our door, we're going to help them. Two Muslim men came into that clinic during the week, and they both gave their hearts to Jesus as well. Hallelujah. Yeah. And praise God, a man came in, couldn't see. We took him to the doctors. They couldn't do anything for him. He came into our prayer room, where all of my students from the Addis Ababa Bible College, Assembly of God Bible College, which I had been teaching, were there. They understood these Jewish people. I had taught them. And they laid hands on this man. And what do you know? He picked up a book and he started to read. Yeah, God still does that kind of stuff. Hallelujah. And we have begun a job training program in Ethiopia. And we have approximately, right now, 30 people who we have put through this program, teaching them the basics of good finances, good management. We have microfinanced a job for them, and we are seeing the results, the fruit of these people being able to support themselves and their families, being able to go to school. We are changing that Jewish community that is so ostracized and so neglected and so hated by their community. We are changing it because of churches just like this one. And the Messianic movement, the Jews coming to faith in Messiah in Ethiopia, is amazing. I worshiped this past, just 2 months ago. We worshiped with a group of Jewish believers in a tiny little room, and it was cram-packed. And they were excited about the Lord. It's happening all over the world. So let's go over to Israel. Let's get back on the jet plane and go to Israel. People say, Israel, this is a rich country. Well, why do you have to do this in Israel? Well, the statistics say that although Israel is not a third world nation, it is the poorest developed country in the world. Did you know that? You'll never see that on the news, I want to tell you. Fully 25% of the Jewish people in the land of Israel live below the poverty line. and another 25% live just at or above the poverty line, meaning half of the nation of Israel, 50% of the nation of Israel, lives just above or in poverty. They need help. Well, think about it. What kind of natural resources did they have? They have a lot of sand, but that's about it. And so Jacob's hope, with the help of churches all over the country and even around the world, we have begun to minister to the physical needs of these Jewish people. We've opened, as I said this morning, 10 compassion ministry centers in the land of Israel. Last year, we saw almost 20,000 people, and more than 100 Israelis gave their hearts to the Lord. Folks, listen to me. This is incredible. Brother Parsley, am I lying? This is incredible what's happening. I spoke about a year and a half ago in a congregation in northern Israel, and at the end of that message, I gave an altar call. Bunch of people stood up. I thought they were all offended and walking out. And the leader of the congregation came running up to me. No, no, pray for them. They want to accept Jesus. I think it was about 20 people that morning accepted the Lord. 20 Israelis accepted the Lord. It's happening, folks. It's happening all over the world, from Russia to France to Germany to Turkey to Ethiopia to Israel. And it's important and it's significant, not just for my people. And I really want you to get that tonight. I'm not here to talk about my people. I'm here to talk about you. Because God's going to take care of my people. It says very clearly, when the full number of the Gentiles come in Romans chapter 11, Paul says, then all Israel shall be saved. See, I have the greatest job in the world because I can't fail. Because I serve a God who keeps his promises. And all of the promises, listen to me, please, all of the promises that God made to the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he must keep or he is not God. If he doesn't keep his promises to my people, folks, how can you trust them to keep his promises to you? Well, yeah, but the Jew, okay, well, maybe you guys haven't been so good either. And maybe now God is going to say, well, you know, I did promise my children these things, but, you know, I think I like the Muslims better now. You think? I don't think so, because God is faithful and he will keep his promises, or he is not God. So I have the best job in the world. I cannot fail. I might not see it all right now with my eyes, but someday we will see it as he fulfills his promises to the people of Israel. Now, I want to show you a brief video. It's a little bit dated. It's about 2 years old, but it'll give you an idea of what we're doing in Israel. And then I want to look at God's word, and I really want to see why you should care at all. Tiny little group of people. I can tell you, and I'm allowed to say this because I am one, stubborn and stiff-necked. Yes, just ask my wife. She'll tell you. But why should you care about these people? So let's look at that video, and then we're going to look at God's word. Shalom from Jerusalem. 2 years ago, God gave us a dream and a vision to bless the Jewish people all over the world. And so Jacob's Hope was born, to minister to Jewish people wherever they live and here in the land of Israel. Here we have opened 4 centers in the last 2 years, but the vision that we have is greater than that. We believe God will give us 30 centers around the land and a multi-purpose dream center to reach into every corner of the land and come with us as we travel around the nation of Israel and see the work that God is doing through the ministry of Jacob's Hope. This is the first time that Assemblies of God World Missions, Jacob's Hope, and Convoy of Hope have teamed together, partnered together, to bring material support, a 40-foot container of material support to the needy Jewish people in the land of Israel. And I'm here with Jo Kaplan, and she is the manager of the Joseph Project.
Well, today we're just receiving this wonderful, fantastic container from Jacob's Hope, and it means so much because the people are dry, the people are needy, they're 1 out of every 4 is living under the poverty line here in Israel, they're unemployed, there's elderly, there's Holocaust survivors that are living in poverty. This is going to institutions all over Israel, as well as aid centers that are giving out to people, the homeless, unemployed, single parent families. The needs are there, and we know about them.
Because of you, our faithful partners, this is, I believe, the first of many. We are going to touch the lives of hundreds and thousands of Jewish people here in the land, and we are going to be a part of what God is doing in these last days.
Jacob's Hope partnered with the Beit Hillel congregation in Ashdod to establish this humanitarian aid distribution center.
Oh, this work became really a big blessing for us as believers, as a congregation. This little help for many really make a big difference. And finally, we're building a relationship with people. Mm-hmm. They trust us. Now we are in the stage when they asking questions, different questions. Why are you doing that? Who are you? Who is these people? And finally, we have even some people who found their Messiah, come to the faith through this work. So this work is really a big blessing, making a difference.
In the Galilee city of Carmiel, home to many Russian new immigrants, Jacob's Hope works with Rivers of Living Water congregation to touch lives. Needy residents are invited to the congregation for evenings of music and sharing, along with food and clothing distribution.
I would say the best project that we ever had is the project of distributing food, but also inviting people to come and give them a touch from heaven, I would say. By the end, we bless them with the food bags. People are very thankful, very excited, and we thank God for what He's doing here in Israel.
How many bags of food were distributed tonight?
Tonight, more than 200. That means more than 200 families received food and were very, very blessed.
Jacob's Hope supports this aid center in Israel's largest metropolis, Tel Aviv.
And when you come along us and say, yes, we can help you, this has been a tremendous help right here in the heart of Tel Aviv to have a place that people can come and they know that we treat them with respect and love and able to give them food and clothes. Russian immigrants, homeless people who come, and we're able to reach them. And many times they ask us to pray for them.
We're yes.
even able to pray for them and give them a Bible if they would like to. And we have wonderful opportunities. So I want to thank you, really thank you and honor you for coming alongside and helping us to reach out as much as we can to the community in a very practical way, but also we share the good news,
Amen.
The good news of the Messiah, Yeshua.
As you can see, the God of Israel has blessed us mightily. The dream is becoming a reality. The vision is burning brightly. And I pray that this dream, this vision would take root in your heart, that you would partner with us to reach these precious Jewish souls in the land of Israel and bring them the blessings of heaven and the good news of the Messiah. God bless you and shalom. You could say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God has been good to us. He's giving us open doors and opportunities that in 25 years of doing Jewish ministry, I never expected to see. I'm a man of great faith, as you could tell. But I have to tell you, I'm more excited about what we're doing today after almost 25 years than I was any time during the past 25 years. The openness among the Jewish people is greater. The openness in our churches is greater to bless the children of Israel, to bring back to them what God has used them to bring to us. And I want to preach to you tonight, but, you know, it's a little intimidating. I have to admit, being here at Central Assembly, where there are so many brilliant people. I'm just a guy from Brooklyn. That's all I am. And I want to do some basic things and maybe put a different twist on them. In fact, someone told me that when I preached in her church, and she said, well, you put a new twist on it. And my response was, well, maybe I untwisted something. So we're going to take something very similar, very familiar to you to begin with, and we're going to go from there. A scripture you've heard preached over and over again, and you all know it, but it's foundational, fundamental to help in our understanding of the relationship between the Jewish people and you, the church. So if you don't mind looking at Genesis chapter 12, I won't spend a whole lot of time on it because you all know it so well. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Okay, God's purpose and plan for Israel. I don't even think I've seen this. Oh, it's right up there. That's great. Okay. I want to talk about God's purpose and plan for Israel, past, present, and future. So I'm going to cover a couple of thousand years of history in about 15 minutes. Think I could do it? Sure, why not? We'll give it a go. Okay. The Lord had said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. Now, I would just love to spend the rest of the time just preaching about obedience. Because if we could just obey God the way Abraham did, we would change the city of Springfield. And we would change the United States of America. And we would change the world. Do you still believe that God could use us to change the world? Do you really believe that? I do. I think if we will listen to the voice of God and obey him, no matter what he tells us to do, even if it gets us out of our comfort zone a little bit, he's going to change things through us. And I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of what God is doing in the world today. I want to be a part of his working and moving in the world. Amen? So God bless Abraham. He didn't ask who's going to take care of the house and who's going to water the garden. He just got up and he went. And so now I like these because I call them the I wills of God. When God says, I will, come on, he says, I will, he will, absolutely. You could take that to the bank. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I love this one. I will bless those who bless you. Now, let me stop here and say, I went to the Assemblies of God Theological Seminary. Ooh, I almost said something wrong there. And they taught me one thing, that when I read God's word, I am to understand it literally. I got one yes out of the whole group. I am to understand God's word as literal unless it is obviously allegorical. Can you say amen to that? Amen. So when God says, I will bless those who bless you, he means he will bless those who bless you. Right. How many people in this room want to be blessed? Amen. Okay, well, about half of you, that's all right. Not about the other half, but that's okay. Now, if I came in here and I said I could guarantee you the blessings of the Lord in your life, wouldn't you want to know how? Yes. It's not rocket science. Thank God. I will bless those who bless you. Now, don't tell me what you think it means. Just tell me what it says. And, of course, you know the other side of that coin. And whoever curses you, I will curse. Now look, we don't have to be great theologians to understand this. Any nation in history that has risen up against the Jewish people, God has judged. Am I wrong? Always. Some of those nations never recovered from that judgment. Yeah? Some of those nations no longer exist. But any people that has blessed the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, the people of Israel, and their descendants has been blessed by God. It's real simple. It's not complicated. It's not rocket science, or I wouldn't understand it. Whoever curses you, I will curse. And the most important thing, brothers and sisters, please hear my heart, is the last part of this third verse. I know you've all heard this preached, but listen to these words again. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. How many people here have been blessed? Well, again, the same half of you. It's okay. You have a Bible? Which people did God use to write this? Okay, with the possible exception of Luke. And listen, I'm not conceding the fact that he might not have been a proselyte or Jewish himself. If he was, then every word in the book was written by an Israelite. You have a Bible because God raised up this people to bring you his word. Have you been blessed? Yes. See, God had a purpose. And the purpose was to bless you. So I'm saying this tonight is not about my people. It's about you. God had a purpose to bless you, and he had a plan to accomplish this purpose that all peoples on earth would be blessed through you. You have a Messiah? And of what people did he come from? His father was the God of Israel. His mother was the greatest Jewish woman who ever lived. That's pretty good pedigree for being a Jew. And my Bible says he's not dead. My Bible says he's still alive. So if he was a Jew and he's still alive, I guess he still is a Jew. Ooh. Okay. I'll give you a statistic. The Jewish people make up 0.2% of the world's population, almost nothing. And yet, the Jewish people have won 36% of every Nobel Prize that's ever been given. In every field of human endeavor, chemistry, physics, literature, you name it, 36%. Does that make any sense at all? In the natural, and if you go to America, it goes up to 39%. 39% of every American who has won a Nobel Prize has been Jewish. Well, don't get mad at me. That's not my fault. Why? Is it because Jews are so smart? No. It's because God is faithful to his word, and because God had a purpose in this world, and that was to bless you, and he had a plan to accomplish this purpose, which was to raise up this people, and out of this people, he would bring forth into the world the blessings of heaven, that all people would be blessed through you. It's not complicated. So God created this people for you. Yeah? So, we know that Abraham had two sons. Now I'm going to get politically incorrect. Who were those two sons? Isaac and Ishmael. And if we read later in the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 22, we see that the same promises which God made to Abraham, he made to which of those two sons? Folks, we need to know this. Now listen, I want to see every Muslim on the face of the earth come to know the Messiah. We all should. We have no enemies in this world. If you're a believer, you don't have the option to have enemies. They might consider you an enemy, but you're to love them. That's the words of our Lord himself. I want to see them saved. But we need to know what the scripture says. And if we don't, we're going to find ourselves in a very bad place. The same promises that God made to Abraham, he did not make to Ishmael. He made other promises to Ishmael. But these promises he made to Isaac. Yes? Isaac had two sons. Who were they? Jacob and Esau. Which of those two sons received the promise? The same promises made to Abraham were made to Isaac, were made to Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to? Israel had 12 sons. We call them the 12 tribes of? And the same promises made to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and to their descendants forever. You see, God had a purpose in the world, which was to bless you, and he had a plan to accomplish it. And he created out of nothing, out of a dead man and a dead woman, he created a race of people that he would use for his glory and for his honor and his praise. And all of the matriarchs, all of them were barren. Why? So that God would show that this was not a natural thing and that no man could claim credit for it. This was about God. And folks, listen, it's never about the chosen. It's always about the one who does the choosing. And he did this choosing for one reason and one reason only, to bless you. Does that make sense? So we have the promises of a faithful God that all people on earth would receive the blessings of heaven through this people, because he is faithful and he will do everything he has said. So you've been blessed, right? So then the question I have for you is, God now finished with the Jewish people? No, you're right. He hasn't. I want to read you a couple of verses from the prophet Joel. Because God had a plan in the past, and God has a plan for us today. And we need to understand this word if we're going to understand what's happening in the world. Now, I'd love to read Joel chapter 2, the whole thing, but I don't have time. Let's go to Joel chapter 3. It says, in those days, and at that time, when I restore the fortunes of Judah and Jerusalem. And if you've been to Israel, how many people have been to Israel? It's a miracle. 70 years ago, there was nothing there. It was a wasteland, it was a wilderness, it was barren and desolate, and today it's a thriving, growing country. You have to go. If you haven't gone, I'll take you, but I'll put you to work. When I restore the fortunes of Judah and Jerusalem, I will gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, the place where the Lord judges. And there I will enter into judgment against them concerning my inheritance, my people Israel. For they scattered my people among the nations and divided up my land. Brothers and sisters, I don't want to be on the wrong side of that one. I don't want to be on the side that has gone against the people of Israel and divided up the land of Israel. Listen, that land does not belong to the Jews, nor does it belong to the Muslims. It certainly doesn't belong to the United Nations. That land belongs to God Almighty, and God Almighty will do with it as he sees fit, and he really doesn't care what you or I have to say about it. I offer God my opinion all the time. Tell you the truth, he never listens. Verse 16, the Lord will roar from Springfield, from Zion, and thunder from Jerusalem. The earth and the sky will tremble, but the Lord will be a refuge for his people, a stronghold for the people of Israel and those who are a part of it. That could be you guys. Then you will know that I, the Lord your God, dwell in Zion. My holy hill, Jerusalem, will be holy. Never again will foreigners invade her. And the scripture ends with these wonderful, wonderful words. The Lord dwells in Zion. Folks, God has a plan. He had a plan in the past, and he used the Jewish people to bring the blessings of heaven to the nations. He has a plan for this age that we are living in. Aren't you glad? We are not just on a rock, a ball, going through the universe, just haphazardly. God has everything under control, and the more we see with our eyes what's happening in the world, the more we should rejoice and get excited, because his coming is soon. And it should encourage us. It should cause us to wake up every day and say, Lord, what do you want me to do now? What can I do today? What do you have for me? And I don't care if you're young or you're old. One of my favorite scriptures, I was young, but now I am old. I'm getting there. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed out begging for bread. He's got a purpose and a plan for each and every one of us in this room tonight. Zechariah 14 says, I'm jumping around. I'm sorry. I'm kind of hurrying here. I will gather all the nations to Jerusalem to fight against it. And then, hallelujah, the Lord will go out and fight against those nations. That's Zechariah chapter 14. I want you to think about this for a minute. Do you believe the Lord is coming back? Do you believe that all the nations of the world are going to go up to wage war against one nation? Which nation? Israel. That's what it says. That's what it says. You cannot spiritualize this text, folks. So why? Tiny little Israel, smaller than the state of New Jersey. No vast resources. They've got lots of sand, really nice oranges, figs, olives. Great. But the scripture says all the nations are going to go up to wage war against Israel. Why? Makes no sense in the natural, because this is not natural. This is supernatural. Anti-Semitism is not natural. It is a battle against the God of heaven, who has a plan to bless you and to end this age that we're living in by the destruction of the Jewish people. Because if you destroy the Jewish people, then God is a liar. He said it in Zechariah, the Jewish people will never. Now, I don't know what you believe that word never means, but I know what I think it means. It means never. The Jewish people will never cease to be a people before me, says the Lord. So if you destroy the Jewish people, God's a liar. You can't trust this book. But God will keep his promises. And the Jewish people, they've tried. That's what all the Jewish holidays are about, you know. They wanted to kill us. God won. Let's go eat. Sort of. So think about this. All the nations of the world go up. Oh, man, I'm not even close, am I? All the nations of the world go up. How much time do I have? I should ask them. All the nations, all the armies, all the airplanes, all the bombs, all against one little old country called Israel. Guess who wins? On that day, the Lord will go out and fight as he fights on the day of battle. And on that day, his feet will stand upon the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem. Good news and bad news. He's coming back, folks. That's the good news. Bad news, he's not coming to Springfield. Don't tell the folks up the street that. I'll get in trouble. And on that day, his feet will stand upon the Mount of Olives, and that mountain will split in half, and he will walk up to that city. Maybe you saw the gate in the video. He has to go through the Eastern Gate. That's where the king of the Jews has to come in. And you see, the Muslims know this, so they did something to that gate. They blocked it up. They put a cemetery there to keep the king of the Jews out. Can you see this in your mind? He comes in the clouds of glory. He splits the mountain. He walks up to the city, and he goes, oh, no. Look what they did. They blocked it up. And they put a cemetery there. Now what do I do? Well, I guess I'll go back to heaven. Maybe I'll come back in another 1,000 years and see what's going on. You think? He's going to breathe on those graves and they're going to be opened. He's going to speak the word and those blocks are going to be blasted out of there. He's going to walk up to that temple mount and he's going to take his rightful place upon the throne of his father David. The angel said to his mother, your son will sit upon the throne of his father David, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yeah, amen. I've got to finish. Give me 2 minutes, maybe 3. So you see, God had a plan in the past to bless you. God has a plan in this age that we're living in. Hallelujah. It's coming to a close, folks. You better believe it. And even into the future. Listen to these words from the prophet Zechariah. I just love Zechariah. Chapter 8. Hope I gave this to the guy up there. Did I? Yeah, I did. Good. Again, the word of the Lord Almighty. Don't you love that? Whoo, hallelujah. I'm feeling kind of old and weak and kind of not so strong, but you know what? God's okay. He doesn't need a hearing aid. He doesn't need a walker. He's as strong today as he was 10 trillion years ago. He is the Lord Almighty, folks. Don't forget it, okay? Again, the word of the Lord Almighty came to me. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I am very jealous for Washington. Moscow? Paris? Definitely not Paris. I am very jealous. Listen to God's heart, folks. Hear his heart. I am very jealous for Zion. I am burning with jealousy for her. This is what the Lord says. I will return to, say it, I will return to and dwell in, and then Jerusalem will be called the city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord Almighty will be called the holy mountain. Verse 7, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Hallelujah. I will, here's some more I wills for you. I will save my people from the countries of the east and the west. I will bring them back to live in Jerusalem. They will be my people, and I will be faithful and righteous to them as their God. That's the God we serve, who is faithful to all generations. You could take it to the bank, hallelujah. And folks, get excited, because we're living in the generation. Many of you were alive in 1948. When a miracle happened, a nation that had been dead for almost 2,000 years, with its people scattered to the winds, without a language, a land, without leadership, without any of the things that make a people, and in one day they were raised up and became an entity in the world again. Never before in human history has this happened, and you're alive to see it. And God said, I will bring them back from the east and the west. And it's happening. Jews from all over the world being returned to the nation of Israel. It's happening right before our eyes. He said, I'm going to make the wilderness blossom. And it's happening right before our eyes. Get excited, will you? You want to know what time it is? Don't look at your watch. I know I'm late, Pastor. Look at Israel. Israel is God's prophetic timepiece, and you know that. Don't forget it. This is what the Lord Almighty says, verse 20. And by the way, God help America. I'm sorry. Listen, you can't tell me we deserve the blessings of God in this country. We have kicked God out of our government. We have kicked him out of our classrooms. We have kicked him out of our courtrooms. And we've even kicked him out of some of our churches, okay? Not to mention abortion, hate and hunger in the richest country in the world. Not to mention the sins of this nation against God. I'm sorry. But this country has always stood with Israel. And I want to say it plain. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. God help America. If we turn our backs on Israel, you could take that one to the bank too, because God is true to his word. Verse 20. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Many peoples, the inhabitants of many cities, will yet come. The inhabitants of one city will go to another and say, let us go at once to entreat the Lord and seek the Lord Almighty. I myself am going. And many peoples and powerful nations will come to Jerusalem to seek the Lord Almighty and to entreat him. If you haven't been, hold on, folks, because you're going to get a chance to go. Hallelujah. But go now, because they really need your tourist dollars, okay? This is what the Lord Almighty says. In those days, 10 men from all languages and nations will take firm hold of one Jew. One Jew. By the hem of his robe and say, let us go with you because we have heard that God is with you. Why do you think I wear these things? No, my underwear did not explode. So that when the time comes, you'll know who to grab a hold of. All I'm trying to say, folks, is God created us to be a blessing to you, past, present, even into the millennial reign of Messiah upon this earth. He will use Israel to bless you. He created us for you. The Apostle Paul said, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Brother quoted the scripture. He said, I would be made anathema. I would be cursed. I would give up my very salvation to see Israel saved. And yes, he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. Excuse me if I finish the verse. To the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. Brothers and sisters, how is it possible that the only worldwide ministry to the Jewish people is standing here with you today? I don't understand that, but it's okay. Let me finish with a parable, and I mean finish. You know the parable of the prodigal son, yeah? You remember that father, how every day he waited for that prodigal son to return? Let me suggest to you today that my people, I take a little liberty here. My people are that prodigal son. We had everything from God. We had his word. We had the covenants, the promises, the relationship, the worship. And the vast majority of my people, atheists, agnostics, secular humanists, Zen Buddhists, you name it, anything but people of faith. One day that son woke up in a pigsty. Really bad place for a Jew to wake up. I tell you. Probably bad for anybody, but really bad for a Jew. And he said, what am I doing here? The servants in my father's house eat better than I. I'm going home. And the scripture says that the father was waiting. He was waiting. He was waiting. And he saw the son a long way down the road. He didn't stand there like this. Boy, wait till that boy gets here. I'm going to give him what for. Scripture says he ran out to greet him. And the son fell on his knees before his father. He said, Father, I have sinned against you and I've sinned against heaven. I'm no longer worthy to be your son. Take me as your servant. And the father said, oh, no. And he raised him up. And he said, bring shoes for his feet. And bring a ring for his finger. And bring a robe for his back. And kill the fatted calf. But you remember the elder son. Let me suggest that's you. Faithfully working out in the father's vineyards for almost 2,000 years, for the most part. And he came in, and he was hot, he was tired, he was dirty. He'd been out there all day long. And he came in, he couldn't believe what he was seeing. And he went to his dad, and he said, Dad, what are you doing? This no good son of yours. He took everything you held precious, and he threw it away. And now look what you're doing for him. And the father looked at him and said, Son, you've always been with me. And I have always loved you. But this one who was lost is found. This one who was dead is alive. Folks, it's not a question of if the prodigal's coming home. It's a matter of when. And the question for us is, what will we do? We can speed his way home. We can ignore him completely, or even we could stand in his way. I don't know about you, but I think it's a good idea to do what God is blessing and not ask God to bless what we are doing. Let me bless you. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'hunecha Yisah Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. B'shem Adonai Yeshua HaMashiach, Sar Shalom. In the name of our Lord, our Messiah Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen and amen. God bless you.